My guest is author Bethany Brookshire. She wrote the book Pests, How Humans Create Animal Villains, and We're Stuck on Rats. That's a big part of our lives. And in the last segment, we talked about how they were revered and reviled. We were talking about deterrence, and you mentioned the capsaicin. Is that how you pronounce it?
Capsaicin.
Capsaicin. Yeah.
Capsaicin. That's the thing in hot peppers. It makes things spicy.
Yeah, I've seen it all the time and read about it, and they have the different levels, so you could rate your pepper, and never quite knew how to pronounce it, and I probably never will. So that's very interesting. So if you have a car that rats like, you can buy tape to wrap the harness with the capsaicin. Someone asked about using mothballs as a deterrent.
Yeah, that's a common deterrent. I've also heard of one about wrapping dryer sheets around the wiring. And I have to say, like, I am not an expert. This is just my personal recommendation. I do not recommend either of those things because it's very true that when the engine heats up, those both release fumes, right? They release these fumes that the rats don't like. And the rats don't like them because those fumes are toxic. And they're toxic not just to rats. They are also toxic to humans.
Okay.
You don't want to be breathing in a hot mothball.
So you don't want
it. It's not great for you. That's going to come in, you know, through your engine when you turn on the heat. So I wouldn't do that.
And so you wouldn't want it to use that method in your car, but maybe elsewhere. Maybe so when you're doing laundry and you throw a dryer vent in your dryer, maybe the vents are the rats are not going to like that.
I mean, if you have a rat in your dryer, I'd love to hear more.
You know, well, they could crawl in. There was something else that Brent did with a dryer. Oh, he took his intake. You know, your dryer exhausts the dryer, but it also has air intake. Mm-hmm. And he ran a hose up into his attic where all the heat was. So he drew hot air so his dryer didn't have to work as hard to bring it up to temperature. He was kind of a physicist. So we got mothballs and dryer vent, dryer sheets, but we don't want to use that in the car. You want to use the capsaicin tape. And
I mean, ideally, actually, I think your light idea is better. For people who park, the other thing is move your car every day. Don't give them an opportunity to remember where it is and like come back all the time and set up a nest in there. This is for people who live in urban environments who might have like street parking where they don't necessarily like use their car for like 2 weeks. Move the car.
Move the car.
Run the car. Move the car. Yeah.
I remember that. They sense a sense of security and familiarity, and that will breed home. So we briefly mentioned this FDA-approved rat birth control. What's that about?
I mean, it's cute. I don't think it's bad. I have no doubt that it works. It's one of the many things that people have been trying to develop to limit populations of rats, and rats are something that people have worried about more and more and more in urban environments. I'm sure you've heard about New York City and Mayor Eric Adams and his war on the rat. And it's true that rat populations have become more apparent to a lot of people. We don't know if those populations are up because rats are really bad at filling out census reports. Something about not having thumbs, I don't know. So that's kind of an issue. So many people are trying to reduce populations of rats, but people also feel bad about killing lots of animals, right?
Right.
We often just try to poison our way out of this problem. And so the birth control is kind of an effort to not do that. And it's fine. I think it's probably a lot of money and a lot of effort for something that in the end, we think of pests as this individual problem. Like you have rats, your house is unclean, right? You have bugs, your house is unclean. This is a you problem. The reality is that rats in urban environments in particular are a problem of collective people. Right? They are a problem of not one particular person. They are a problem of infrastructure, right? They're a problem of where your trash is and how often your trash is picked up. They're a problem of where the water is. a problem of, you know, whether or not people are putting out trash in plastic bags versus hard-sided containers, right? And, you know, they're also a problem of whether groups of people together are keeping up their infrastructure. So, for example, we often associate rats and mice and stuff with like tumble down, falling apart structures, you know, people who are somehow not taking care of their space. And the thing is, rats in this way are a problem of social justice because rats thrive in areas where people don't take care of each other, right? Where there's poorly maintained public housing, poorly maintained sewage, bad sanitation, right? Some of the worst rat infestations I saw working on the book were actually in homeless encampments, where people have no choice but to live with these animals, and they don't want to. Nobody wants to, right? And so in a way, the problems with rats that we have are much bigger than like giving them a drug with birth control or putting out traps or poisons or anything like that. They're about the way we treat our environments and the way that we treat each other.
That's well said. Author Bethany Brookshire, the book is Pests: How Humans Create Animal Villains. And of course, you never want to use poison. And you have a house. Boy, I had Lens Pest Control come out, their rodent division, and they just sealed up after I got the new roof on. They sealed up everything, and boom, the rats were no longer entering. And just see them outside as they feed on the avocado tree. What about people who have cats? Do they work?
Yeah, you know, that's always, and you see it actually with New York City. There were lots of people being like, we need to release the feral cats, all the cats in the shelters, and we'll give them jobs hunting down the rats. And it's very cute. It's also probably not effective. Cats are really great mousers. They're very good mousers. But people often really don't realize the difference in size between a mouse and a rat. So a mouse is real small, right? The body of a mouse by itself is probably less than half the height of your cell phone, right?
Half the height
It's
of what?
Cell phone.
of like your cell phone,
Okay.
like the average iPhone, right? A rat, like the body of a rat is significant. Rats are frequently over a pound, right? They're big boys. And so there've been a couple of studies looking at like colonies of feral cats that live near colonies of rats and like do they fight each other? What do they do? Michael Parsons is a researcher who's actually worked on this, and he found that if you have a feral cat colony, and these are feral cats, they are not pet cats, these are street cats living near a rat colony, the rats and the cats do a really great job of just avoiding each other. So like they don't fight each other. They just, you know, the cats are around like during the daytime and the rats are around at night and they take different routes and they live different places. But fights are very uncommon and cats are not dining on a lot of rat. And when you think about it, when you think that a rat is big, right? He's a hefty guy. And you think of a cat, and your average feral cat is probably under 10 pounds. Like, that's kind of like a human trying to fight off a German shepherd. Like, you could do it unarmed. You could probably do it, but it wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, right. There won't be any
And if
clear,
you're,
wouldn't be a clear winner.
right. And if you're a feral cat with no medical care, right? You're in this for a long time, not for a good time.
Now
And
they must have dogs, like specially trained rat dogs, I bet.
there are, yeah, there's a couple, and there's actually volunteer organizations in New York, and I know there's one in DC also, that people take their pet dogs, and their dogs are like ratter breeds of dogs, so like rat terriers, etc., and Jack Russells, things like that, and they take them into like alleys and stuff at night. And the dogs do their thing. And
Oh,
there are
God.
even pest control organizations that have trained stables of dogs, kennels of dogs,
It's just crazy.
trained to do this. Yes.
It's crazy. We don't, of course, we just want to see, protect your house. You make sure there's no openings. You don't leave out trash and water. And you just keep your area clean and you let the rats move on to somewhere else and don't worry about having to kill them. And that would be the perfect world. we're kind of towards the end of the program. Author Bethany Brookshire wrote the book Pests, How Humans Create Animal Villains. Because you mentioned the cats, I was watching, I love watching British TV, Netflix. And there was this show that's a new show. And I learned that one cop said to the other cop that if you hit a cat with your car in England, you're actually not obligated to stop or even report it.
Oh.
And this goes back to some law in 1988. And I read online that in 2023, they're actually trying to change it. But if you hit a dog or a horse or cattle or pigs or goats or sheep, you must report it immediately. So their cats are getting a bum deal in England.
That's fascinating.
You know what's fascinating? Bethany Brookshire, a great book, Pests, How Humans Create Animal Villains. You are very informative. You're very funny and entertaining. And you made it an easy interview. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break or a long and terminable break? We'll come back with the first week of the year, weekly multiple listing sales update.